Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and my friend the Dictionary has the first goodbye. Now, I'm not that smart, but when it comes to pandemonium, I skip the second goodbye and ask for a prayer of the Comfort Counselor. Woe is me? No. Jesus says the I love you song is how you speak six languages. So if my unfortunate erection is my favorite moment of the spelling bee, then second be better than the champion while we padded it. The last goodbye. Joining us today are the usual 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee spellers, including Kevin Magicfoot Jaeger.
Oh, it's very magical. Thank you for noticing, Brian.
You're welcome. I don't think I expected that response from you. I don't know why. Kimberly R., the Spelling Bee Rules Game Master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
I do love rules. Thank you.
I know. And with us today is a gaggle of new guests and a returning guest, all a part of the musical improv troupe Schitt's Probe. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friends of the show.
Friends of the show!
Kiki Mickelson, Allie Reed, Adrian Pellerin, and Josh Lehman!
Yay! Woo! Brian, that was so impressive.
Thank you. I improv'd it. No. Oh. That is not true. I read that verbatim. But thank you all so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time. I'm super, super, super excited to talk about what you do, why you do it, how you do it, where we can see you do it. But first, what are you drinking? Kevin, let's start with you. What are you drinking?
I had some whiskey in the freezer, which I had forgotten about until I moved some vegetables. And I was like, ah, the good stuff. So we're having like super duper cold whiskey in the mug that I got from Broadway Con like 6 years ago that had like Coke in it. Coca-Cola.
But it was a sarsaparilla. I remember I had that cup.
But it now has secret freezer whiskey, which is fantastic.
Amazing. Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I am being lame because I'm getting over a fun Thanksgiving stomach bug. And I'm just going to drink a lot of water.
Sure. Returning guest Josh, what are you drinking?
Oh, hi. I'm drinking one of those Manhattan in a bottles.
Oh, cool. You
got to rub the right way. And Kevin, I literally was like, did you buy like one of the Gaston mugs from Beauty and the Beast? Because that's what I thought that was. I was like, that's Susan Egan commitment.
It was this like stand at Broadway Con that was just like selling like their brand of cola.
Yeah, it was like a soda truck.
It's called like Wild Bill's Root Beer or something.
Oh, it does. Sorry. It says Wild Beer's Old Fashioned Soda Pop Company. They were at Broadway Con like the first or second year.
It was at the Hilton. I remember this vividly.
And when you bought like a cola, you could pay like $5 extra and it came in this mug. And this has been the best investment of my life because this cup keeps things like colder than like any. It's ridiculous. So
do you keep it in the freezer? We keep ours in the freezer.
What?
Yeah, keep it in the freezer.
It's going to go next to the secret freezer whiskey. This is perfect.
It's just so wild that they chose Broadway Con of all places. Like, we got to launch this
movie.
And
they were like in the back of the marketplace, like not near any of the other vendors. Yeah. Like, we'd happened upon a soda shop. It was so weird.
They were also
real?
I don't know.
It was a mirage. It's like a group of guys who were like, there's a space at this convention. You just want to see if people will buy our stuff. Well,
it's right next to the in-transit booth. You'll love it.
It probably was.
They were at New York Comic Con as well. I bet you that year they made the rounds of like to see how they would do like on the floor at certain cons. And I guess Broadway Con like fell on their list.
Whoa. Did you go to them at Comic Con? Did you bring the cup? Because I think there was a refill discount.
If I had known, I would have brought it, but I saw them there. And I thought to myself, why didn't I bring my cup?
Why?
Well,
drinking, Brian?
Yeah, well, let's go to Adrian and Kiki and Allie. What are you all three drinking?
Well, we are enjoying a delectable gin and soda cocktail.
Oh, you know,
we got hooked on gin. We were all in Edinburgh during the Fringe Festival this August, and gin is just the drink there.
Gin is my drink.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
I didn't know that gin was popular in Scotland. I mean, why wouldn't it be? That's so random. Like, I didn't know that Scottish people like gin.
It's a very British drink. Like, it's and very UK drink.
Yeah, like when I'm here, I usually drink like tequila sodas and stuff. But when I'm in over there, gin is the local thing, so it's the cheapest thing to get. Yeah.
Now you told us this, and I don't think it was any cheaper than any other. I don't think so. I really don't. He was really short, and I started drinking them, and I was like, "Oh, I was more of a vodka girl." And then I was like, "Oh, gin is vodka with a little more taste."
Yeah.
So I was like, "Yeah, sure, but this wasn't cheap."
I guess no. I mean, like at the grocery store, if you're going to go get like a big old bottle.
I thought you were talking about.
At the bar.
No.
Well, see, I get it, but like, I feel like gin is like vodka that someone poured their perfume into.
Ooh, it's fragrant.
The juniper.
Mm-hmm.
The botanicals of it all.
Delicious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like your rival in your childhood, like junior theater. You know, like if you're vodka, and then you're like, "Oh, fucking gin got the part. I hate them. I want to be young Cosette."
Her name is Juniper, like that.
Yes.
And that's how we start an improvised musical, with a simple want.
And y'all were the stars of Edinburgh, by the way.
Yes.
Edinburgh is a magical place to be with lots of different types of artists, and it's a place to get your brain all juiced up and like ready to come back. So I feel like we all came back and we were like, we're ready to do all of the musical improv. Put us in.
But first, more gin.
Yeah. More juniper.
Is do you perform while drinking the gin?
Well, depends on how late the show is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm drinking a little bit of tequila with some on the rocks with a splash of soda. So I went the opposite direction. But let's jump right in. Like, just... straight up, tell us what you do. Like, let's just start from there, because a lot of people know or understand the basics of what kind of musical theater improv is, but I don't know how many people have actually like gone to a show or seen something outside of like a YouTube video or listened to a podcast with it. Like, tell us like a little bit of background on what it is that people can expect from going to a show featuring what you do best.
Well, if we back up just a touch. So we all started doing improv in different ways. And I think the three of us all saw a group called Baby Wants Candy, which is this musical improv group that is all over the place. They're the group that we toured with over to Edinburgh with.
Okay.
But once we saw that improv could also be musical improv, so you could make up a musical in the moment. Mm-hmm. The three of us, being all musical theater nerds, were like, this is what we have to do. So we got into the art form when it was still comedians coming in to do musical improv. And as musical theater performers, we were like, we want to up the music. We want to up like the juicy little acting bits. We want to like take it to the next level. And so we started taking classes and creating different things for ourselves, different forms. And as we kept doing that, we came up with Schitt's Probe. You take it away now.
Yeah, Kiki, your turn.
Yeah.
My turn. Well, what we do is we improvise musicals. So that means that we usually get a suggestion. Usually it's the title of a musical that doesn't exist. And then we make up the musical from there. We do an opening number. We have a protagonist who has a want. We have antagonists, love interests, you know. Big production numbers. What else?
Oh, and an incredible band led by Adrian.
Yes, the real genius in the room. But yeah, we just make up a musical on the spot. And it's magic every time.
It really is. So many people come up afterwards and are like, so did you know the song and you just didn't know the words and you made them up? And it's like, no. Like, Adrian's there making shit up as we go along, like creating a full, like, music, like composing on the spot. Mm-hmm. And then all of us just go for it. And it really is like watching a magic show. That's the best way that I can describe it.
It feels like being in a magic show when I don't even know how the tricks work.
Yeah.
just keeps working.
Yeah. You just build the cards and someone's like, yeah.
We sawed her in half and somehow she stayed together. I don't know.
So in my head, this question makes sense, but I'm afraid it's going to come out weird. But so a lot of people may have seen like an improv show or like a sketch comedy, like that kind of a show. And obviously, like, what happens that's different with your show is that there's music. But as performers, as an improv performer, what do you think is, like, the number one thing that is different as, like, how you handle that? Not just, like, well, we're singing. That's obviously different. But as performers, like, what do you think is, like, the skill or the strength that is, like, most important to be able to handle improvising in both, like, speaking and musical mediums?
I think something that we do that's a little different from regular improv or sketch comedy is that we do a full narrative musical. So we're always telling the same story, even though there might be different scenes and different bits within the show, it's always serving the same story. And so I think having an understanding of how musicals work or just how storytelling works is great, but it's also relying on your partners too to help you make that story and for them to have your back as well. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's all about teamwork. It's all about listening. And I think what's different is that, like, when you go see an improv show, yes, you're going to see amazing people. But this takes it to a new level where you're not just seeing some of the best improvisers in New York. You are seeing some of the best musicians, some of the best singers, some of the people that just, you know, there are special people in this world that know how to communicate through song, that know how to hear a harmony and come in. And when I say it's like a magic trick, when we all just start randomly doing the backup vocals and harmonizing or, you know, like coming in after somebody's like, the lady's a bitch. And then three of us would be like, a bitch, you know, at the same time, it's just, it's that and it's trusting. And it's just really, really special, I think.
Totally. And what I love, you know, so much about the show we do is we're bringing in a Broadway star who's never done improv before and thrusting them into this experience for their very first time, you know, surrounded by the amazing cast. We got Ali and Kiki and we got Josh. We got a bunch of other cast members who are incredible improvisers, but our Broadway star guest has never done this before. And it always blows us away, like how good they are. Like every single time they just hit it out of the park, and it's because they've got musical theater in their bones and their muscles. They grew up with it. And it's like, it's so incredible to see that, like, yeah, they didn't even think they knew how to make up a whole song, but like once they just open their mouth and start singing, like magical musical genius comes out. It's crazy.
And I feel like you can't really do that in a regular improv show. Like if you just like brought someone random into your like Harold, they would just like derail the world.
yeah,
like having musical theater. I don't know. I'm a big nerd for musical improv, so very excited to come see you.
Yay! Oh, I can't wait. Our next
there is
show
nothing
is
better
be amazing.
Than like a good musical improv. Like they're like my husband and I say it all the time because he's an improviser. I'm like, there's nothing worse than a bad improv show.
Oh, yes.
There's nothing better than a good one.
So yes.
True. It's just like it is better when there's music. So every true. Time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is really cool about the magic trick part of it, which is it, you know, highlighted in our show where we have someone do it for the first time, is like it is so magical and it's like incredible and people are like, how do you do it? Whatever. But then like, if you get past the fear of like standing up there and like just letting go, like most people can do like a pretty decent job at it. And a really good job if they're good singers and like, you know musicals or whatever, because it's like, you know, all the parts of a song, you know what a chorus is, you know what a verse is. And it's just like, letting yourself play, everybody can kind of do it. And so it's like a magic trick that everyone could do if they just let themselves. It's an interesting balance.
Well, and the best thing about improv is that you're doing it as a team. There's no like you're doing this alone. And I think that's what I try to tell, you know, like our guests when we have them, when people are nervous, it's just like, you're not out there alone. Like we've got you. There are seven people or whatever that like truly have your back. And, you know, you can't go wrong like that.
Yeah, if you dive, I'm going to dive too. So don't worry.
My favorite was when we had Izzy Michaela guest at the show. Before the show, she's like, I'm so nervous. I can't. And then you introduced her and Adrian, you were playing music and she just came out and like did the splits.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, you bitch, you're fine.
That's amazing. Now, you guys said you take a suggestion from the audience. What?
Frankenstein's Cheese Shop.
Great.
That could be great. It's usually my favorite part of the night. Like Allie and Kiki, you know, the two of the three founders of this beautiful thing. We get three suggestions. Here we go.
That was your question, right, Kevin?
That was absolutely my question. Thank you for finishing that, Brian. I was going to say, what are hints for your audience, like our listeners who can come see you? What are like really great? What makes a really great suggestion?
So sometimes the suggestions can be like the butterfly's first flight or something. So something like innocent and lovely. And then other times we'll get punny titles. We got Dear Evan Handjob one time. Honestly, one of my favorite shows we've ever done. It was super fun. I had a great time. I mean, what are some other fun titles? Something that evokes like a, I don't know.
Yeah, I personally, I don't love the pun ones sometimes because I don't love having to feel like I have to reference something for the audience to feel like we honored their suggestion. Something evocative, something that has like drama built into it is always fun. Or I also really have like a soft spot for like dumb, like pelvis, like just like a word or something kind of random where it's like, ooh, we can just go completely. My weird little mind can just make all these associations.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any sort of specific formula for like what I like in a title. I, unlike Kiki, love the pun titles. But I'm just sitting behind the piano. I don't have to.
Yeah, then you have reference material.
Yes, I have reference. I love having reference material. No, but like, I mean, truly any sort of title. And what we do is, you know, we ask the audience for a few ideas of different titles. Like we'll get an idea from this person, that person, and this person. And we'll let the audience vote on which one they want to see, which is always so much fun.
My favorites, we had three of the stars from Come From Away. We had Astro and Petrina and Emily, and they were such amazing guests. And the audience member who shouted out a suggestion, like put some sass into it too. They said, can she even walk in heels? And Josh comes out and sets this amazing chorus, and the whole place just exploded. It was so fun.
Yeah. It was such a fun show. Also, like, just where it went, where the Come From Away people took it, like, it sort of started, if I remember correctly, like, at a beauty pageant, like a kid's beauty pageant, and then Katrina was like, and we're vampires, and, like, we hold these pageants to kill the kids. And all of us are like, oh, okay, that's the show we're doing.
It was incredible.
It was amazing.
So good.
That's fantastic. Do you know what else takes suggestions sometimes?
What, Brian?
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's
corner, and he doesn't take suggestions.
I don't usually. No,
no,
but
I could
never
see Brian trying to use the segue of, you know what else eats children? Well,
I was going to do, you know where else is like this, you know, visceral and overly dramatic. But we moved past that moment.
We did.
Oh, okay.
So we're in Kevin's corner now, which is my favorite part of the show because it's my part of the show and I can do whatever I want, which obviously makes it the most evocative and brilliant part of the show. and today, since you guys are improvers, I'm going to improv it. So my thought is we're going to go. My first question for all of you is, in musical theater canon, is if there is one character that you just hate what ends up happening to them or like where their story goes and you wish you could improv them a new ending in their show, they don't have to be the, like the main character. They don't have to be like a huge part. But if there's one character you're like, ugh, I just wish that that like diner waitress who sings Dotsy May in like Best Little Horror House, like won the lottery and just like walked out of that place. And that was the end of the song. Like something like that. That's just like your moment. You wish you could improvingly change musical theater canon. What would that be? And I'm going to start with Josh.
Okay. I mean, I've got a few of them, but fucking Fosca in Passion, like let it go. You're dying. Why not just be like, I think you're really hot, but I'm dying and there's no hope for us. You know, something like that. And just being like, so chill with me while I die. And you can get married to Mary Maisie recipe. You know, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, hospice and chill.
Yeah, hospice and chill. I think, yeah, that's what I think. That's be more hospice chill.
That's a brilliant answer. Kiki.
Okay. I think I would love, okay, no, spoiler alert. I would love Sarah Brown Eyes to not get shot.
Oh.
She just like goes and tells the president that she needs help. Oh, and he's right. Like, oh my gosh, I'm listening to you because I care about you, one of my constituents. And then
and not die.
And then they all lived happily ever after.
That I'm okay with that. I mean, that slightly changes the narrative, but like,
no, I think then the whole play would have to improvise the rest of the entire end of Ragtime.
So, you know, when you said Sarah Brown Eyes, I immediately went to Sarah from like Guys and Dolls and I was like, she gets shot.
Well, actually, but maybe that's my new change that I would make is I would have her get shot.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah,
her.
Sure. Yeah.
When like she's in Havana.
Train.
Yeah. My time of day is a very dangerous one. Be careful of your surroundings.
Bam.
Yeah.
If I were a bell, I would get shot. Is her name.
Ding dong, ding dong. Bam.
Wow. It's the perfect point for it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
He like changes his ways and becomes like part of the mission because like he carries on her thing. I love it.
Yeah,
I
guess. Sad guy sometimes. Brilliant.
Obadiah. Wow. What a guy.
Overtime, I can't. Allie, what you got?
Okay, I know again that this would change things, but what if Fontaine didn't die?
Mm. Yeah.
What if Fontaine was alive and she came back? Like, let's say she had to go away for a little while, but then she comes back, not as the ghost, but like as the mother that's always been watching from the shadows.
But she does let Jean Valjean go get Cosette and raise her.
Yeah.
And she comes back when Cosette is an adult.
Yeah, because she's ready. She's ready now.
Wow.
She had her rehabilitation.
She went back to school. She's like, I'm a social worker now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes.
I'm proud of you. Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of her because, like, she needed me time. And maybe it was the 18 years that she happened to have a child in the formative years. But, like, she needed me time.
Thank you. We all need a little reset.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Piano Man, what you got for me?
Okay, I may have been swayed by the incredible intro of this episode, but I did play Chip Tolentino in 25th Annual when I was in college, and he gets out of the spelling bee way too early. I mean, come
it's
on.
True.
Agreed. I totally agree.
Like, come on. Okay, maybe, sure, maybe he gets kind of out for the exact same reason that he did. But then by the end of the show, you know, maybe he learns to embrace his erection. And that becomes kind of the way that he, you know, he comes back in and he and Barfay have a dueling match.
Yeah, just the patriarchy taking over.
Yeah, he gets really alpha.
It's super alpha.
Yeah, he gets really
like
alpha.
A 10 years later epilogue kind of thing.
Ooh, I love an epilogue.
I do love that. But I was going to say, like, say, embracing is that was amazing. Embracing his erection and then the patriarchy taking over was quite a metaphor.
Like, yeah. Like, what if Evan Hansen just said, "Sorry about your son"? You could have.
Oh, yeah. Truly. Oh.
I mean, and that's a great one. Like,
the one act.
He just tells the truth right up front.
Yeah. Credits roll.
Yeah.
You have this cast when it's cut off. And just like, and then it's like, wow, I did a really nice thing for these grieving people. And I'm going to write these letters a little more seriously.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have had my experience in the theater of crying because I felt bad.
Mm. True. See, my answer probably would have been old Deuteronomy at the beginning of the show just goes, I pick her. I pick her. The one over there that's sad and smelly, I pick her.
Yeah, of all the cats, like, let her die. Get on the tire, girl.
It's
like,
clearly her. She sings the favorite song 7 times.
Yeah, and Mephistopheles doesn't want to die. He's magical.
Yeah, and so youthful.
Yeah, why is he in the competition at all?
That girl's fuetes are amazing. This woman is done doing those. Yeah. Like, she is over it.
She's exhausted. Let her go.
She starts to sing Memory, and then he's like, nope, it's all good.
It's you. Okay. Yeah. Come on.
Midnight. Wait, no, get on the tire.
You already got a direct offer. We don't need this. This part's done.
Wait, Kimberly, what's yours?
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't thought of me. Who do I think? I want to pick someone, like, random in the background. So I'm just like, I don't know, Eugene from Greece.
Yeah.
And Patty Simcox. They both deserve a little
That's true. Beautiful.
Patty.
I appreciate that.
Brian, Oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
Sophie finds out who her dad is.
Whoa.
Don't give me this, all three of them can raise me. Take a paternity test. Figure out who the father is, who is financially responsible to help this person, like, get off of this Grecian island and, like, go to somewhere where she can go to school. Like Sophie needs to find out who her biological father is.
It's a different type of Sophie's Choice.
Absolutely. Also, if Here We Go Again is canon, then, like, once, spoiler alert, once Donna is no longer there, I know that Pierce Brosnan sticks around, but, and that's wonderful, and I think you're supposed to assume that he's the actual father. He takes the responsibility, but, like, I don't know. Colin Firth and Stellan Skarsgård got off the hook pretty easy on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, like, the way that Sophie acts in the second one, she definitely, the gay one might be the dad. Like, she's got a flair of gay in her. The way she's
yeah, that's true. I've never seen the second one.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
I've never seen the second one, but I realized we watched it for this podcast. So
yeah, I was going to say.
Okay.
Wait, but Josh, you've never seen Mamma Mia number one?
No. Well, I mean, I've told you this. I was so obsessed with ABBA in high school that I was like, this is going to be a great musical. I know I'll do this. It's in World War II or whatever. And then Mamma Mia came out and I was like, they somehow stole my idea. Oh. Granted, like, there was no internet or anything yet. I was just like, somehow they broke got into my brain. Parents' house and knew. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was sort of bitter about it.
Understand.
Oh, fun, though.
Anyway, but I wish the creatives all well.
And to end out Kevin's corner, what character musical theater canon would you not touch their story because they have the absolute perfect, most perfect musical theater arc?
Oh,
I know it's hard to pick one, but if you had to pick the one character, you're like, nope, it just hits all the right notes.
Okay, keep vamping. I need a second.
That's a really good... That's an excellent question. Because, like, you could also pick someone who has a negative arc, but it still makes sense within the context of what show they're in, what they're trying to say thematically with those, you know, two acts. That's a really, this is way, definitely way harder. Because I don't think about the perfect ones. I constantly think about the ones that I would prefer to change.
Because I would say, like, my answer to this, just to give more time to think, my answer is Caroline from Caroline or Change, I think, has a perfect arc. Because I think that the way that her musical, like, I was a music major in school, so, like, I love how musically the show plays through. So she goes through different styles that are softer and start getting more and more edge, and so by the end of the show she finally gets to do what she never got to do in society, which was basically scream. So she gets to let out her aggression in like that final like B flat kind of slamming on that like belt note over and over again, so she gets to just kind of scream for the first time, which I feel like was the whole theme of the show, was like these women who are working as maids to the white society had to be quiet and not seen, and so for her to scream at the end is just like so musically perfect that like by the end of that show, you just really felt her full emotional arc. So that would be my
that makes me think of Mother in Ragtime with that note in Back to Before when she sings like strong, and she, like that was the first time that she actually belted in the show. Like that makes me think of that too, which is very cool. Like when you can figure out like all the musical stuff like that, it's so nerdy and great, and I love it.
Ah, that's a good, that's actually a really good answer.
Thank you.
Who's next?
I think maybe Pippin. I really love his story. I think it's so relatable. I think that we're all just like lost. Granted, I'm still lost, and Pippin like figured shit out when he was like a twink. But, asshole. But, you know, I always just sob my eyes out when I see Pippin. I think it's so perfect. It lets me know that like, you know, you'll be okay. You'll figure it out.
Yes.
You know, you can be in your 40s and still in your slut phase, you know, like whatever, that's fine. Not that I am. I'm having a going out of business sale. It's still a good journey, I think.
I love that. No, amen. Amen. Who's next? Piano Man?
Yeah, this is a toughie, but
it's Chip, isn't it?
No, it's Jesus from 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. He has a quick cameo, and after Chip gets out, I got to play him for like 2 seconds, and it was the perfect arc.
Yeah, I mean that is the full ascension.
It's a full ascension, absolutely. And it's literally just like a 30-second bit, but I loved every second of it. that's more of a bit, sir, but that's all I got right now.
I'm here for it. And last but not least, Ms. Kiki.
Okay, so I recently, not to brag, but I recently saw a Cabaret in London. That production is unbelievable, so good. And I was really like struck by like Sally's journey, and I like was, it's like she, you keep thinking like maybe she'll, and then she keeps like she can't stop being herself, like she can't stop doing the same thing that she keeps doing until it's just like she's just so sad, and like in a sad way. I think it's like a beautiful I don't know, at the time, and maybe I really was like, oh, I'm Sally.
Oh, no. I also paint my fingernails green.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, that's like the at the crux of what everything you're trying to do with like a story like that is like have the audience walk away being like, that was so me. Or like you call your friend and you're like, that was so you. Like,
yeah.
Imagine like, calling your friend like, wow, you're Sally Bowles.
I figured it out.
Yeah, I know who you are now.
Kimberly and Brian, do you have one?
Oh, I mean, this is so difficult because then you have things like that, like a sad one, like, but it's full, like a Sweeney Todd. Then
I was also thinking Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, you also have another sad one, like Tevye, like he kind of accepts a lot of the things happening around him. But
are you just like saying the optional answers as a way to say more than one answer, Brian? Because I only asked you for one answer, so don't be a cheater, Mixon.
First of all, I do this in, we have 300 episodes. I've done this in 75% of episodes.
I know.
So if you're not used to it by now, that's on you.
Yeah,
two, my real answer is, she goes from orphan to adopted into a rich billionaire's house. How is it not Annie? That's the dream.
Perfect arc. Yeah. Perfect arc.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
The dream. And she has her dog the whole time. She outsmarts two like ruffians. Like this is like, that is the arc of dreams.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
Noah.
Daddy Warbucks is like a
Noah
nice man.
Noah has the best arc. Yeah, exactly. Nice man.
Yeah.
Boo! Noah has the best arc. Yeah. Boo!
If that were our improvised musical, though, we'd all come out as animals. I guarantee it.
Oh, I definitely.
I'm ready to be a hippopotamus.
I'm a lonely anteater.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Oh my God, Kimberly, you got one before we go?
Oh, I was just also thinking of Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett, though, because she has like a change of heart right before the end.
Mm. What a perfect, perfect journey. And it's like, granted, she takes things a little to the extreme. But like, you know, I empathize. I mean, I would never tell somebody that I had a crush on like, oh, no, your boyfriend's poisoned himself, but I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, but in the end when she's singing like, I love you, I'd be twice the wife she was, I love you. And it's like, oh my God, that's great fucking theater.
It's real. Yeah, it's so good.
I can't wait for it's a revival next year. I'm very excited.
The marquee is up.
It is?
Yeah, I walked past it the other day.
Oh, wow.
And like, they're improvising the entire thing. They're not using the written music.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
Yeah, somebody actually dies, I heard.
Yeah.
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 They pull Sweeney from the audience.
It's a snuff musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, Broadway finally has a snuff musical.
Yeah.
Snuff time.
Yeah.
You gotta try something new. Bring in the peoples.
Bring in the people.
Absolutely.
We're sick of Broadway being problematic, so we're gonna make a snuff musical.
Yeah, ponchos. Ponchos for the first couple rows.
Yeah.
Ponchos.
Oh, God. Go into Today Ticks to see if you can win the dying ticket. Like,
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, this has been Kevin's Corner.
You know what?
Kevin's Corner always ends that way.
It's so fun, though. Does Kimberly, like, welcome to Kimberly's Castle.
Well, on that note.
What was that? Electra's Castle? What was that TV show when we were
Eureka's Castle?
Eureka's Castle.
My dream. Eureka's Castle.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I had to play the games.
Yeah. Should we just, great transition. Better than I could have done. Let's play a game.
Can we call this Kimberly's Castle, though, for
Kimberly's
now?
Kimberly's Castle.
Is this a drinking game?
Oh, it can be. Anything's a drinking game if you have
pass the gin.
Hand.
Pass the gin.
We need more gin.
The main thing I'm realizing about this game is I counted on everyone having different Zooms.
Oh!
Because one thing has to be a secret. So it's like you. Okay, so I have two decks of Lights of Broadway show cards in my hands. I've created a game called Everything Taboo.
Ooh.
And so in my mind, what would happen is you secretly would draw a show card. So I would like type it to you in the chat. Uh-huh. So can the three of you pretend to not look at someone?
Yes, we can definitely.
Are we hiding now?
No.
Oh, for a second, when you said draw, I was like, I don't have any paper and pen. I'm a terrible artist.
You know, we love a podcast Pictionary. It really
translates beautifully to the audio medium.
Yeah, it's just exactly what it was intended for. Actually, a podcast called Pictionary would be very funny. <It's> Just actively describing what someone is drawing.
Yeah, right.
They're drawing an arc, no, an oval.
Oh, an oval again. They're pointing at the
oval.
It
has a nose. Anteater.
But see, the only way it would work is if the person never gets it right. So it's just like a minute long of someone guessing something they can never get right.
Since they can never see
it. I love these games.
All right, so the rest of this game. So you'll receive secretly a show. I have many shows in this deck. And then for everyone to see, you'll cast your lead actor out of this deck of actors. And so Taboo style, explain how that person would be cast in the show without saying anything about the show. And then we all have to guess what show they've been cast in.
Okay, I just don't want to go first.
Oh, so Kevin will go first because he'll it'll explain itself.
Yep.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
We love an example.
We love it.
Okay.
So I just did spirit fingers to say that I was going first. I don't know why that
happened. Yeah, because you got spirit.
Okay, and my favorite way to draw a card on Zoom is, Kevin, say when.
When? There's no delay at all.
A delay?
None.
Never.
None whatsoever.
Love it.
Okay, you see your show?
I do.
Okay, now say when again. I'll give you an actor.
When?
Oh, that was weird. Okay. Donna Murphy.
Oh! Well,
I'm obsessed. Every moment is perfect with Donna Murphy. Okay.
Yeah.
I would cast Donna Murphy in my show in one of the two romantic leads. She would be playing a part that the first time we're introduced to her, we would have to have a two other versions of her with her to kind of show the
path.
Yes!
Yes!
Allie, that was amazing.
Thank you.
I am so impressed because I there's so many shows nowadays where it's like three versions of the main character. That was well done.
Yeah, I tell you, I have tried to figure out how to do an improvised I Know It's Today for so long. It's all I want to do. I want to see the beginning of a show, our pro tag as a little baby, and then I want somebody else to come in and we'll see them as a teenager and then see them as the adult and be on our way. I have tried to figure that out many times.
She has.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Since you got that right, you get to go next.
That's so good.
All right, close your eyes.
Okay, closing my eyes.
Okay, say when.
Now.
You didn't say when.
That's when. Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't look, everybody. Got it?
Okay, say when.
Okay, now. You can look now.
You can look?
Yeah.
Beatty Wong.
Oh, great. Okay.
BD Wong.
BD Wong would be in my musical in a little, we would do a little switching of the genders. BD would play a older figure to one of the younger main characters. There are multiple main characters in this show, which is currently running on Broadway. The BD would be an amazing authoritative figure. They could throw things into the yard with gusto and say, get out there and clean it all up because I'm going away and you have to stay here, but I'm going to go to the fancy place and you have to stay here and clean up all those things while I go to the fancy place. And then we'll cut to another scene, if you
into
will.
Into the woods?
Yes!
And BD Wong's a stepmother?
Yes.
I love that casting.
Thank you.
I was like, is Bad Cinderella running yet?
I love those ads, by the way. I can't get enough of them. Like, so I'm not incredible. Just Cinderella. I'm Bad Cinderella.
I'm bad.
I'm like, all right, Bad Cinderella.
I can't wait till next Halloween, when all of the gays are Bad Cinderella.
Are Bad Cinderella. I'm going to be D.J. Lloyd Webber.
D.J. Lloyd Webber.
Just sneak onto the top of the marquee. Okay, Josh, since you got it right, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. I'm nervous.
Okay, don't look, don't look.
Ready, don't look.
Don't look, don't look, don't look. Don't look.
When?
Oh, so sorry. That was also Into the Woods. Let me take that out of the deck.
Ooh.
Again.
Okay. When? Oh, I hope I know the show.
I just saw your gamble face, Josh.
Okay. I'm really bad at gambling, but okay, I could do this.
Okay, and then let's hope you know this person.
Does Josh have a tell when he gambles?
Oh, yeah. Okay, say when.
When?
Cynthia Erivo.
What a gift.
Right. Okay. All right. Cynthia, I think, would be great in this role because she's a powerful, powerful woman. And it takes a powerful woman to defy not only your father, but every single thing that your people have done for generations to come. And when you fall in love with somebody that might not make a lot of money, but is really good at sewing.
Fiddler on the Roof.
That's right.
With Cynthia Seidel.
Yeah, Cynthia Seidel. Yeah. She'd be like, Hado, Hado.
What a matchmaker scene.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, with the pun titles for our suggestions, we get more Fiddler on the Roof pun titles than anything else.
Like other things on the
Hitler
roof?
Hitler on the Roof. That was a great one.
I think we've done that show multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't do it, but it was Suddenly Semen. Last time. Mm, course, they voted against it, but it was there.
It's always there.
Yeah. We'll always have that.
I think we've gotten the Riddler on the Roof at one point.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Diddler's on the Roof. You know, there's a lot of rhymes.
The Fiddler on the Roof. That's the same show.
Oh.
All right, Brian, you got Fiddler, so it's your turn.
Okay.
I
love you.
Ready?
Yeah, when?
So excited for you.
Oh, no. All right.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. When?
Oh, this one I can play. It's Carmen Cusack.
Yeah.
Carmen Cusack. Okay. So Carmen Cusack in this musical that I got is going to win a Best Supporting Actress Tony for this revival. It's coming to Broadway next year. It's not, actually, but in my head it is. She plays a character who really doesn't want to take care of their kid. And so they decide to leave that responsibility to somebody else. That somebody else takes care of kind of the gestation of this kid. And it's very colorful. There's a circus involved.
Oh, musical.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, Blood Brothers?
Yeah.
But she wants the kid. Anyway. But I also was like, I want a revival of Blood Brothers.
I would love Seussical to come back.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Such a sweet show.
Horton is like a dream role of mine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Josh.
So good.
It's my
Let's
dream.
Let's put that out into the universe.
Yes.
Universe.
Well, if you don't put it out, don't put it out into the universe, it'll be all alone.
Very good.
Should we just go to your show and suggest Seussical?
when we get something like that, we say, oh, that one already exists, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But thank you. Arky, you got that right, so it's your turn.
All right.
Yes.
All right, ready?
Okay.
They win.
I'm so impressed.
Oh, that was so fast.
I know. I forgot what I was doing.
Erase my typo.
Okay. It's fabulous.
Did you exit out?
I didn't yet. Here I go. Here, yes. Amazing. Who do I have? Oh, I have.
Okay. Ready? Say when.
You can look.
Okay.
When?
Jefferson Mays.
Oh.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, let's pick another.
I simply can't cast them.
You know Jefferson Mays.
He's currently doing a one-man
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
Oh.
He was in...
Gentleman's Guide.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Next person. Next artist. Yeah.
Was he also in Oslo?
No, you're not.
Maybe.
Ready? Was that him?
He's very gifted. He could have been.
Are you familiar with Ben Platt?
Oh, yes, I am. Okay. Okay. Let me think.
Parade and she loved it.
Oh, jealous.
So good.
Wow. Oh, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. He was incredible. Okay, I have to think about the show that you had typed in the thing. And I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. Okay. Hear me out. Okay, it's gender swapped.
Okay, great.
Oh,
okay.
Good start.
He's like a bitch. He's a bitch. And mm-hmm. he's very concerned about the, like, the way that he looks. And he's not cool with the way that somebody else looks. And it's like, I am supposed to be the star of this dancing show. And you are not right.
Hairspray.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And Ben is
as Amber.
Amber.
Yeah. I almost said showgirls.
Showgirls.
Yes, of course.
Do you think there's a show card for showgirls?
I don't know why I thought that.
There should be, squids. And hear me out.
Yeah. This is our
squigs.
Yeah, this is our plea to squigs.
My God.
I would see Ben Platt in a gender swapped showgirls musical.
Yes.
That's for him actually, to throw yeah, the fries anyone. And be like, yes. different places. Yes. yeah. You know? Oh for those God. Of you at home that don't know Showgirls, and you should, Nomi Malone, the Ben Platt role in this version, gets asked, yes. where are you from? And the character throws their French fries and yells, different places! It's anyway.
Incredible.
It's a treasure.
So good.
All right, Adrian, are you the only person who hasn't had a turn?
I think so, and I have here so much go. Anxiety that I'm not going to know the show or the performers. Oh, so here we go.
But you're ready? Wearing your Pippin sweater, so
well, I'm like, I'm really bad with names of people. When? And so when it comes to people, I might need help with who they are.
Go look.
Bernadette Peters.
Okay, I could go. Okay.
Are you familiar? Do you want to try again?
Give me one more.
Okay, I'll give you the one that was behind it.
Because I know the music, but I don't know the story very well.
Double or nothing. Double or nothing. Don't look. Don't look.
Double or nothing.
Don't look.
Oh, my God. I feel terrible.
They'll cut it out in post.
We can go with that. We can go
okay,
with that.
Great. Great. Okay, ready? Say when.
I'm so embarrassed. When?
Are you familiar with Stephanie J. Block?
Oh, we can yes. go with Stephanie J. Block.
Okay.
You better be familiar.
I was gonna say, every casting director ever has always said, we can go with Stephanie J. Block.
Okay. True. Okay. Yeah.
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 Are we okay. gender swapping?
Yeah, we're gender swapping, but, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. We are gender swapping, and Stephanie J. Block is playing like a hard-hitting police officer. Yeah, the kind of police officer who like goes up and down all corners of Manhattan. I'm talking the up part, the bottom part, the right part, and most importantly, the left part.
West Side Story.
Yes.
Oh. Is Stephanie J. Block Officer Krupke?
Yeah. Oh my I'm God. Sorry.
But is it like
I'm sorry,
Wicked?
Stephanie.
Is it like Wicked though? And it's like from Krupke's point of view.
Yeah.
And he's like, I always wanted to help these kids. I'm not a monster. Would never lay a finger on any one of them.
A gender-swapped Officer Krupke spinoff musical.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm interested.
Broadway, give me my
Look
check.
Out. Yeah.
Oh, I'm God. Interested.
You know, she wants to do a gender-swapped nine. With her in the lead, and I'm like so fucking for it. Nine is one yes. of the best scores ever, I think.
That would be incredible.
But and, all of the three women now men should.
No. What should, I mean is that the role is gender swapped. Everybody else is still a woman.
Oh, yes.
I love that. Just that one role got it.
Yeah. yeah, which I think is genius, and yeah. I'm here for and. You know,
yeah. yeah. Do you think that there are other musicals besides Company that could actually be gender swapped and be?
I think on? All of them really, like, yeah. you know, why not?
Yeah. I think that's like, the other thing that we love about musical improv is that we can play whoever we want.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
So freeing.
You just get to pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You Who are we going to play a baby right now? And hope somebody else will be the teen.
Exactly.
Just moments later.
What Allie does that constantly. She's yeah. just starting every song I'm with a baby. Little baby. And you're like, Allie.
I'm only this many.
Yeah.
yeah. Allie, this doesn't yeah. make any what sense. Is,
come on, get my back.
What's the most outrageous character, like the most outrageous, like I cannot believe this is happening right now character you've ever played in one of these?
There was a show that I got labeled as Mr. Dipstick.
Oh, wait. Yes.
And was I name? Was like an art teacher and it was like
Beefstick.
Kiki looks at me straight in my face and she says, well, Professor Beefstick. And I said, yes, that's my name. Beefstick. and then had to do the whole show as Beef Stick and did this whole like vaudevillian dance number as Professor Beef Stick.
And the
Beef
song
Stick
was
says any medium will do. Beef Stick says any medium will do.
Like art and our any artistic medium. I mean, great. Honestly, a great professor, really empowering the students.
Yeah, it seems like that. This seems like a Mr. Holland type.
Yes.
Of, type
thank
of
you. Teacher. Thank you. Yes.
That's what I was.
Mr. Beef Sticks Opus.
Yeah. The Beef Sticks Opus. I just want to write my symphony.
Yeah. We're coming to your next show and giving you that as the title.
Yes, please
do.
Oh, that's incredible. A very niche reference.
Yeah. Allie rolls her sleeves up. She's like, well, he's coming
we
back.
Reprising the role.
Little Shop of Beef Stick.
Yes.
Beef well, Stick on the Roof.
On that note, that does bring Beef Stick on the Roof. That brings us to the end of our episode. Tell us about where we can find you, where we can see you, how we can get tickets to find you and see you. Let us know all the details. I'll also put them in the description of this episode. So if you're listening, check the description. There'll be links to the website, the Instagram, all that stuff. But if you want to talk a little bit about that, that'd be great.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, you can find our show. It's called Schitt's Probe. It's like the word Zitz Probe, but with an H at the beginning. So it's Esh. S-H. It's Esh.
It's Esh.
Thank you, Carol.
It's SHITZPROBE.com. That's also our Instagram. And our next show is on December 12th. It's a Monday night because that's the night that Broadway doesn't perform most of the time. And it's at 7:30 p.m. at Asylum NYC. And we have an amazing special guest. We have Katie Geraghty from Into the Woods joining us.
Cool.
We are so excited. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's going to be an amazing show. And yeah, we'll be announcing our schedule for the new year also very soon. We play monthly. So come check us out.
I love that.
That's Yay. Fantastic.
It's going to be amazing. Like, Katie is one of the best performers I've ever met. She's so funny. She's so kind. And, like, her Little Red, if you have not seen it, it's unmatchable.
So good. Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. And I'm just so excited to have her. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Well, and selected by Sondheim himself.
It's true. It was in his last will and testament.
It was his last words. Bring me Katie Geraghty.
She will do Schitt's Probe.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the wish.
That's what the wish.
Improvise a musical.
That's my Sondheim impression. Is it good?
Yeah. No, yeah.
I loved it. Actually,
keep doing it.
My eyes were closed and I was like, is he on this Zoom right now? This is wild.
He's back.
Well, thank you all so much for taking the time. We really, really appreciate it. Again, follow them at Schitt's Probe, schittsprobe.com. Get your tickets. Go see them. I mean, if this is 1% of what you'll see, then like you know you're going to have a good time because we had a blast today. So thank you so much. You can follow us at Broadwasted on all social media.
Hey,
Instagram.
Us.
Yep. Instagram, Twitter. Follow our Facebook group. And of course, join our Patreon. We're doing some theater nerdy stuff there. That's always a good time. You can, of course, find us wherever you get podcasts, things like Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
And of course, we end every episode with a quote, as Kevin remembers every single week for 300 and something episodes. He's completely on it. Woe is me, which is why I gotta win this spelling bee. Quote for today. Seriously, the four of you, thank you so much for joining. This was an absolute delight and pleasure, and we cannot wait to see you in person.
Yay.
Knocking it out of the park with the Beef Stick Opus.
Oh, I can't wait for you to come. It's going to be so much fun.
But as we end every episode, we raise a glass and we say
Cheers.
Cheers.
Empty.
I thought we were figuring it out.
Yeah, us too. Yeah.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.